The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend, engineering and producing, Tom Fairbanks. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Tom, do you know what today is?
I should probably. Is it Ash Wednesday?
Yeah, one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar today.
And the big day in New Orleans is what, Fat Tuesday?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And yesterday was also National Pancake Day, which is...
I missed out on National Pancake Day.
I know you love pancakes.
Indeed.
Right now, if at all possible, you'd have a short stack in front of you as you get ready to engineer and produce the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, February 26, 2020. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Someone was trying to find a program. They sent me a Facebook. Bill, where do I find this? I said, look, all of the shows are archived. They were worried, you know, they wanted to save it. And I said, don't worry about it. We're saving it for you. Got all the programs up there. I think since we launched the project for the radio show back in January of 2011. The live line number is 790-2040. Ramon Valadez, Pima County Supervisor District Number 2, Supervisorial District 2. With me in studio, Ramon, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. And here we are, the last week of February, and of course, the big story that is dominating the news and the news cycles, the coronavirus. Over in area where I used to work on TV, over in San Jose, Santa Clara County, they declared a state of emergency because of the coronavirus, as did today the city of San Francisco. Now, they're doing this, Ramon, even though they have not had a confirmed case. They're trying to get the public's attention, which I don't think is really that necessary, right? To get the public's attention. Everybody's already freaked out about this. But is that necessary for Pima County at this point to declare a state of emergency?
No. As a matter of fact, we have no confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Pima County as of yesterday or the day before. The truth is we are monitoring it. At this point, we think that probably a state of emergency might just panic people as opposed to really help the situation.
What can people do? There's some pretty common sense things that you can do.
You know, one of the things that I did before coming to the show, because I figured this would come up, is I contacted our public health department. And I asked them, well, how do you treat it? How do you prevent it? What should you do? What should you be watching out for? And they pretty much said that you take the same steps that you would take on the impact of influenza or the flu. Every day steps to stay healthy. Wash your hands often and thoroughly. Cough and sneeze into your elbow or shirt sleeve. Use a tissue, throw it away, and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Skip the quick hug or embrace when greeting an old friend. Flu viruses are spread from person to person through coughing, sneezing, by touching something with flu virus on it, and in some cases, through the air. Steps you can take if someone in your family gets the flu: stay home stay home from work or school. Call first. Call your medical practitioner or clinic and tell them you have the flu before you leave the house. Make a plan. Consider actions to take care of you and your family. So what you and your family are doing to do with people that come into your house, like your babysitter if you have one. If your child becomes ill, obviously you want to follow these protocols as well. So it's really common sense, and that same common sense that we would handle the flu with is the same we're suggesting that people do today.
And here's a bit of advice. When you wash your hands, make sure it's at least 20 seconds. That's what the health professionals say. In other words, just running your hands over hot or cold water for a couple of seconds really isn't going to do it. So it needs to be at least 20 seconds.
Actually, what they suggested to me, and I think you'll enjoy it, is singing Happy Birthday twice.
Yeah. Happy Birthday twice.
And make sure it's Happy Birthday to Bill Buckmaster so that it's long enough.
Uh-huh. Stand up, stand up. You can add a couple of those sometimes funny birthday verses to your hand washing. So there will be, I assume, Dr. Garcia, the head of the Pima County Health Department, who is very, very, in fact, he's internationally renowned. In this field of public health, I'm sure that they are developing some kind of plan, right?
Right. Dr. Garcia is actually now a deputy administrator at the county. Okay. But he's also the chief medical director medical officer for the county itself. Obviously, as you know, he's not only an MD, but he's got a master's in public health as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he is helping us monitor the situation, make sure that we're treating appropriately when necessary. And so please feel free if you have any questions to just go to pima.gov /health. And we have some more information on that website as well. But feel confident that we are on top of the situation and we are monitoring it. And if something happens, we'll make sure that we get the word out as well.
But declaring a state of emergency before you have a case is a little bit of an overreach.
It's a little bit like Florida declaring a state of emergency when there aren't any hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's talk about, we'll move from the coronavirus to a much more pleasant topic. A lot of people miss spring training. For years, we had spring training here. If you like sports, and especially baseball, what do we have, an international group coming in?
Yeah, we have the World Baseball Classic. We're actually have got two pools that are going to be playing here in Tucson. The first pool from March 12th through the 17th will include Brazil, France, Germany, Nicaragua, Pakistan, the Republic of South Africa. The second pool will be from the 20th through the 25th, and that'll include Czech Republic, Great Britain, New Zealand, Panama, Philippines, and Spain. And if you're a baseball fan, it's a feast of international teams here in the Old Pueblo. It's a fantastic project that had a lot of people, including Visit Tucson, very actively involved in attracting that to our community.
What's the venue?
It's going to be over at Keno, mm-hmm. Keno Veterans Memorial Sports Park.
Why was Keno chosen? Why was that location chosen? So many people to this day will tell you it was a huge mistake putting a sports park there when it could have been put downtown. Was downtown on the table?
No. I will tell you that I was staff for my predecessor on the board at the time, but I was reminded probably about 5 or 8 years ago by Jack Donovan, who was one of the proponents of a stadium, because he spoke at Call to the Audience at a board meeting. And what he basically said was, look, everybody was equally involved in trying to keep spring training in our community. And we made it very clear we were looking for any site that was made available, including sites downtown. And ultimately, Jack is very clear that nothing was made available. The only site that was made available and is the only reason we had spring training was the site for Keno Veterans Memorial Sports Park that was made available at Pima County.
Mm.
So it wasn't that we had a choice of locations and then we chose that one. It was we had one location to choose from or they weren't going to stay and play spring training here in Pima County.
And how has that decision worked out in the long run?
In the long run, I will tell you that after spring training actually left Pima County, we were concerned, but we ramped up. And I will tell you, if you take a look at the website that we have for the Keno Veterans Memorial Sports Park, you can see that it is very heavily utilized and probably more actively utilized today than it ever was during spring training. And obviously, if you look at the schedule, we're going to have the Korean team here. We have the World Baseball Classic. We just finished MLS last week, the spring training for Major League Soccer, along with obviously a whole host of events all throughout the year.
And the footprint for this has been expanded. There's now what you call Keno South.
Correct.
And that was something you had really lobbied for.
You know, that has a personal significance, and I'm just so happy that that our community has that as an asset for it now. It actually began back in about 2005, 2006. We were looking, or one of my dreams was to get a soccer complex on the south side of town, and we had looked at the area where Southgate is located today all the way back, because beyond where Curaçao is today is primarily county-owned property through the flood control district, and using that as a soccer complex. And when Curaçao came in, that those plans ended. We then looked. It was about 2006, 2007, and I used to live at right around Tucson Boulevard in Irvington. And one day, on my way to the downtown, I drove by the property, and I said, "Okay." So I talked it over with county staff, and we decided to reach out. We reached out. They wanted somewhere between $25 and $29 million for that property because it was platted. It was in the height of the bubble. And we tried calling them, naming rights, the whole thing. Nothing worked. Then the bubble burst. And in about 2009, 2010, I was driving by it again, and I thought, you know what? I've got a funny feeling about this. So we once again initiated contact with them, and the end result of that is that we got it for just a little over $9 million with owner financing over 5 years.
Wow.
And obviously it was in the bond, which failed.
How many, do you recall how many acres?
I think it was over 100.
And that has turned in now to this Keno South,
right,
with the soccer fields.
Phase one was a dozen professional quality soccer fields and a two dozen pickleball courts. That's phase one. Phase two will go out for either request for information or request for proposal soon, and that will be a proposal that will lightly include things like retail and a hotel and potentially even a water park, depending on what the feasibility shows. But that will be, we're looking for a proposal that then, based on that proposal, they will purchase the property from the county.
All right, we'll pause right here. Ramon Valadez is with us, and Ramon shared with me that he did not have breakfast. He's very hungry. Well, I'm going to talk about my favorite bakery in town. That's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is, of course, doing now their breakfast, the hot breakfast, Ramon. They got the grill all fired up at 6:30. Those blueberry pancakes are delicious. They do a chocolate chip pancake as well. But they're open right now for lunch, and what I'm envisioning is what I had up there Sunday for lunch. It's an hot chicken breast sandwich, a little melted Havarti cheese on rustic bread, and the red bell pepper. Very nice. I bet you could go for something like that right now.
It's making me hungry just thinking about it.
Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Also, there's a link to Mona's and all of our great partners here on the Buckmaster Show. If you go to buckmastershow.com, you'll see that very convenient link of all of our fine sponsors. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, I believe that bump music is one of my all-time favorite groups, Chicago, and I believe the song is Only the Beginning.
You are right on both counts.
And from my hometown of Chicago, and originally the group was called CTA, the Chicago Transit Authority. Yeah. And that was the first album. Might have even been album one and two, but anyway, what a great group. Ramon Valadez is with us in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Ramon, do you tend to go to some of that oldies music? Do you like it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, but I didn't know about CTS.
Yeah, CTA.
Oh, CTA,
Chicago Transit Authority. Yeah, and then they just went straight to Chicago. And I think, maybe Tom knows this, but a couple of the they tour all the time. They're up in Las Vegas, do a lot of work up there. I think a couple of the original, like 12 members of the group are still with them.
Yeah, the driving force, I can't remember his last name. His first name was Terry. Hmm. Is it Terry Lafferty?
You might look it up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he died a few years ago. Oh. And so there was a kind of a null period. But then the guys decided to get back together. And I think one of the guys' sons joined the band and is part of the band. And they got a couple of other guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
They still sound good.
They
do.
All right. Pima County supervisors have approved this 10-year plan for fixing really. It's a very ambitious plan, $526 million for road repairs all over Pima County, Ramon Valdez, over the next 10 years. We had your Pima County Transportation Director on the program a couple of Fridays ago, Ms. Oliveris, and she was outlining it, saying that pretty much every road, and we're talking neighborhood streets, are going to get attention with this thing.
Right. Simply put, I mean, you can get into the math and the complications, but simply put, in the next 10 years, every neighborhood road in unincorporated, that's outside of the cities and towns, Pima County, will get the road preservation. And part of that is that we will also have the capacity to maintain that state.
Well, as you know, two city council people, Paul Cunningham and Steve Kasachek, will have Councilman Cunningham on this program in 24 hours from now. Paul's just furious about this thing and saying that city taxpayers shouldn't get stuck for any of this.
Right. And on its surface, that may seem like a good argument, but if you take a look at it, here's what happened, okay? Mm-hmm. If we look back to 1997, we had a HERF bond election. Highway User Revenue Fund is HERF, which is our gas tax. Now, the way the law reads is the unincorporated areas of the county get HERF monies for the roads. The cities and towns get HERF monies for the roads. Now, when the county made a decision, and I was in the legislature at the time, so I wasn't on the board at the time, when the county made a decision to then go to a bond because they could front load it and get bigger bang for the buck in terms of transportation by doing that and then pay off the revenue bonds by committing part of that gas tax to paying it off, it was only the unincorporated gas tax that was used. To this day, the only tax monies that were actually used were the unincorporated area gas tax, to a tune of, I believe, somewhere above $170 million, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those $170 million went into the cities and towns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, cities and towns were getting 100% of their gas tax allocation. Mm-hmm. So they're getting $170-plus million of the unincorporated gas tax in the cities and towns. The plan, the way it's structured, essentially, not all of the PAYGO monies are going to transportation. That will be capped at $25 million a year towards the end of the 10-year cycle.
With the pay-as-you-go plan.
Right. Because remember, the pay-as-you-go plan is also for capital infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just roads. But we'll keep the discussion to roads right now, so long as we understand it pays for a lot more than just roads. The road portion of it is not likely to actually even get up to the same amount that was used to pay for projects inside cities and towns from, again, the unincorporated pot of money.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you get more than you give, what's the complaint about?
All right. Greg has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Bill. You know, first off, I'd like to say I don't look at Facebook that often, but when I see a posting from Ramon there with his wife, it's such a beautiful photo. You're a lucky man, and she's lucky too. You guys have a great, very positive posting there from time to time.
Thank you, Greg, and I you're right. I am incredibly lucky.
So let me ask you about the public defender's office, because that's a large chunk of the county budget, and right now it's not being run very well. Mr. Fineman is. Well, let's put it this way. The procedure at the public defender's office when the indigent defendant comes in is meet him and plead him. They're immediately offered the plea offer from the state. That's not good. And so my question would be, twofold. How is the person chosen? Does the county appoint the person? And how soon can we replace Fineman?
Okay. Thank you, Greg. Two-part question. How is the public defender chosen?
Basically, the way it's chosen is typically it's advertised that the position is open. It is a staff position, so it is advertised, then narrowed. The county administrator recommends to the board who it is he believes is the best candidate for public defender.
This is not an elected position.
It is not an elected. It is an appointed position.
Okay.
And then the board either has it on the agenda or just ratifies the decision itself.
And I think he wondered how the man would be replaced if that it came to that.
The man,
Mr. Fineman.
He is not a protected employee, so he's unclassified. So if we have determined that he's not doing the job that he needs to be doing, at that point we can address the issue and replace him.
Tom, I don't have time for that other call. Do you want to quickly jump on and ask David what his question was, and I'll try to work it in here as I have less than 2 minutes. I wanted to ask you about horse racing has returned to Rito, and there's a very loyal, as you know, Ramon Valdez, fan base for this. We'll see how the attendance looks, but their contract will be up at the in June of next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And just so everybody knows, I believe the Clydesdales are there this weekend if they want to go out there and take a look at the Clydesdales.
Cool.
Bill, you know, it's something that's been ongoing and almost traditional there at the Rito grounds for many, many years. And so long as the multiple uses can coexist, I see that it going on into the future, well into the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the multiple uses, we were talking earlier about what's been going on at with Keno and all the soccer fields. You've got a lot of soccer fields over at the by the horse track, right?
The inside, I believe the, a lot of what they're using is the inside of the racetrack as some of the soccer fields as well.
So there's a lot of opportunities there.
Oh, absolutely. And if you go there on weekends, they've even got a farmer's market.
Yeah, the farmer's market has been doing real well. All right, Ramon Valdez, thank you very much. Ramon Valdez, Pima County Supervisor, District Number 2 with us. And to kind of recap our headline here, no state of emergency, health emergency is about to be declared in Pima County over the coronavirus. However, the plan is very much ongoing with the health department.
Absolutely. It's a situation that's in development, but we'll keep the public posted.
All right.
That's
thank
a
you.
Priority.
Thank you very much, Ramon.
Thank you,
All
Bill.
Right. Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're going to take a hard break, we call it in the business. CBS News right now.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tom, you pulled something out of the hat there. I don't recognize that music.
This is what happens when instead of just playing it from the beginning like it normally happens,
yeah.
I start it maybe a minute into what is a 2 or 2.5 minute music bridge.
I like it.
And we're picking it up in the middle instead of at the beginning.
Very nice. Very thinking outside the box. I like that, Tom Fairbanks. It's the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our thanks to Green Things. What a beautiful location. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site, and they have everything you need over the past 50 years. This is their 50th anniversary. Everything you need for the garden, and they have some beautiful Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture. That's part of their Zocalo Village complex. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are the starting places for the website. Our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice series continues. This is our candidate interview series. We're archiving all of our candidate interviews at KVOI.com. John Backer is with us. John is a District 4 Republican for the Pima County Board of Supervisors. John ran 4 years ago, and John reminded me a few moments ago, first of all, good to see you, John.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
That I was his first media interview back in 2016.
Yes, sir. I it's a fond memory.
So, all right. So here we go again. You are challenging the now incumbent, Steve Christie. Why did you decide to go again, John?
Well, you know, I was a little troubled about Prop 463. Not only did Steve Christie pass that on to the voters to appear on the ballot, but he actively campaigned for that tax increase. And I spoke before the board before they took that vote. I spoke before the board after the election was over and we won, to defeat that bond. And then most recently, when the certificates of participation were used to fund work for Diamond Ventures and the Rocking K development to the tune of $16 million, and the fact that those certificates of participation are not voter approved, I got reached out to by several people and urged me to run again. Steve's a gentleman. I got no problems with him on a personal level, but it's all about the record and the votes, and there's been far too many 4-to-1 votes.
So are you saying that Steve is not a good steward of our tax money?
Well, that's putting words in my mouth. However, I think there's a number of votes that he's taken that I would certainly take a different way, and I think there's a lot of money being spent I would spend a different way. So, yes, I guess in a roundabout way, that's what I'm saying.
But you have no, personally, you like Steve.
I do like him personally, yeah. Yes.
Talk to our listeners about who is John Backer. Give us a kind of the 30-second elevator pitch here about your background and what you would bring to the table.
Okay, awesome. I was born in East Tennessee, born and raised there.
What's town in East?
It's called Morristown, Tennessee, close to Knoxville.
Okay.
More people would know where Knoxville is than
sure.
Morristown.
But
okay. I came out here July 4th, 1984, as a member of the Air Force to serve as an aircraft electrician on the A-10. After completing my term here, 4 years here at Davis-Monthan, I stayed in the area. I joined the Air National Guard and worked on A-7s and F-16s, also as an electrician. And then once I came to an end of that time, I ended up getting more education and spent 30 years in the IT field, information technology, with the last 10 years being spent at IBM on a worldwide team using visual analytics to make sense out of large amounts of data and to help my clients fight terrorism, fraud, waste, and abuse.
Where is your home?
down in Sarita.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this, you're familiar with this district?
Yes, sir.
And there, does this district, what particular needs, John Backer, does it have of the five supervisorial districts? What are kind of unique to that district?
Well, I think it's hard to get past the road situation. I think what we see is across all five districts, the roads are in terrible condition. They didn't get that way overnight. With 70% of our roads in failed or poor condition, it's hard to move past that, either for residents that are regularly getting damage to their vehicle driving through those poor roads, to businesses wanting to potentially look to us to come here to do business. The taxes are the highest in the state from a property tax perspective, and although that hits the residents really hard, it hits potential businesses even harder with the rate of the assessed value going from 18% from 10 for residents. And then those business owners also have generally a much higher valuation of their business to base that on.
Is this the most conservative district, do you believe, of the five districts?
I believe it is, yes.
And why is that, do you think?
I think it's just demographics. That's mm-hmm. the way things have shaken out. I think it's just, you know, the way things have come across over time for decades. It's been a very you know, conservative district. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I have your pledges in front of me. You said fight wasteful spending, demand accountability. What about this one, trust through transparency?
Yeah, I think there's some things to talk about there for sure. Right now, the Board of Supervisor meetings happen during the middle of the day on mm-hmm. Tuesdays, so it minimizes the business owners and the folks who are out working for a living from attending and participating in those meetings. There's been some talks about moving them to nights or weekends, but that hasn't happened yet. I would love to have that happen, to have the widest range of people from the community participating in those. Also, too, I've been a fan of the way Allie Miller's communicated with her constituents through recording videos of the Board of Supervisor meetings to share key parts of what's happened and taken place, and her newsletter that she sends out to keep her folks that she's answerable to informed.
You also talk about restoring confidence in the leadership. Give us, what's that about?
Well, I think it's largely a summation of the other points on my card. If we have these things, we will restore confidence in the county leadership. We need to fight wasteful spending, demand accountability, increase the trust through transparency, and then, you know, it's clear through the bond elections that we've been through that many of the voters don't trust how Pima County is going to use the money that they asked for. Mm-hmm. And that needs to change by showing people they can be trusted through doing these things.
Where do you go from here? What kind of a campaign is this, John, and how is it different from what you did in 2016? I think I'm getting at, did you learn some lessons out of the first campaign?
Absolutely. I'm not embarrassed to say I didn't know what I didn't know in that first election. I started late. This year I started significantly earlier. I think a lot of people knew me who didn't know me in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the key thing is people want to be heard. And walking the neighborhoods myself personally and knocking on doors and listening to how they feel is important. And I want to be the voice, the ears, and the eyes for the residents in this community at the Board of Supervisor meetings.
All right. And where do you go? Where can people find out more about you?
Backbacker.org is my website.
Okay. And what do you like to do in your spare time?
Wow, that's difficult. I don't know that I have any spare time.
Well, I try to bring make these interviews as personable as possible. People mm-hmm. kind of want to find out a little bit about what are your do you have any hobbies or anything like that?
I work so much, it's hard to say. I've got three grandchildren, you know, ranging in age from 2 to 9. I really enjoy the time with those. I'm a father of 4 adult daughters and 1 teenage son.
Well, you do have your hands full.
Exactly.
I can certainly see that. John mm-hmm. Backer, Pima County Supervisor Candidate, District 4. Thank you, John, for spending some time with us.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay. The Buckmaster Show continues. We have the Arizona Theater Company. Tom, on the other side of the glass there, I sent you an email with that correct number, so I think we can double check. We've got Sean Daniels coming coming up next. Sean is the artistic director for the Arizona Theater Company, and we'll find out what he's got planned for the 2021 season as we continue on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We've been talking a lot about the Buckmaster Show bumper music. Tom Fairbanks kind of mixing it up a little bit, and I think that's Steely Dan, isn't it, that you just played? I only heard a few quick seconds.
That was all I was able to snag out of that one, just a little snippet.
Yeah, just a little. Well, we are kind of tight on time, so that was probably appropriate. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. By this time of the week, I think a lot of people are ready for road trip. Let's get away, huh? 3-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful area of the Southwest. It's Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, in that area of the Land of Enchantment, that southwest corner. Very pretty area. Check it out. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org, where you will find everything you need in preparation for your road trip to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The Arizona Theater Company will launch its 54th season with artistic director Sean Daniels' first fully chosen 6-play main stage lineup. It has been announced, and Sean is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Sean, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on.
Sean, how has this season gone for you? These were not shows you had pretty much put together, had not chosen. But how has, first of all, the 53rd season, when all is said and done, how has it gone so far?
You know, it's really been fantastic. And I have to say, you know, I don't know if you know, I grew up going to this theater.
I know.
I was 10 years old when my parents, you know, dragged me to every show that they had. Now I realize maybe my parents were just lazy about like checking out which show was which, because, you know, some of them had more adult themes, but it's been such an honor to be back in this community and to be at the theater that really changed my life. And what's been amazing is just the tons of audiences that came out. You know, we had, you know, packed house after packed house for Cabaret, and, you know, the Royale won award after award. And so just to get to meet the community and be a part of it and give back to this, you know, place in town that changed my life has been really wonderful.
Sean, give us the overview, if you will, of the upcoming season. Don't have a lot of time, but hit on a few highlights, would you please?
Right. So one of the real things that we want to do is that everybody says the quality of our work, and I believe it, is just as good as anywhere else in the world. So I really want to put Arizona on the map for a place as the leader in the country for where theater is happening. And so we have some shows next year that are going to start here and then go to New York, as opposed to, you know, the way that everybody else does it, which is do what New York did 3 or 4 years ago. So we have three musicals and three plays. We have one play that's going to go directly off Broadway after it happens here. We have another musical that's going to go on tour right afterwards to different cities. And we're partnering with U of A, and we're partnering with BMG and with Broadway producers to really try to put us at the front of the national conversation.
Do you have that Nina Simone show coming up next year?
And Nina Simone, which is an amazing musical by Christina Hamm. If people know, you know, her music, that's our final show of the year. So, you know, like that's the type of thing that I think like catches people's eye. And, you know, even if you're not a theater goer, right, you can be a Nina Simone fan.
How do you make this a true state theater, Sean Daniels?
You know what? That is a question that we ask ourselves all the time. But I think the way we do that is by one of the things that we're doing in our partnerships is that we are partnering with other theaters and other universities, with U of A, with ASU, with the Herberger Institute, with smaller theaters, to say that it's not about competition in the arts. It's all about like, how do we raise up the entire state? How do we let people know that fantastic work happens here and that, you know, world-class artists are happening here? And if you want to see what's going to be playing in New York and you want to see it for a third of the price you will pay when you go to New York in a much more comfortable place with parking, then, you know, we're the place to do it. So I think you become the state theater by raising up the other organizations around you.
How are your venues?
They're great. I mean, you know, the Temple in Tucson is, you know, really one of the nicest theaters that you'll ever go to. And, you know, I think of the Herberger in Phoenix, also where our shows go afterwards, is phenomenal. And, you know, I just think for our audience, you know, if you look at our season next year, right, we have Lauren Gunderson, who wrote Silent Sky, who is the most produced playwright in the country this year. She's coming back with a play that is a sequel to Pride and Prejudice. Right. And so like that's going to be a highlight for our audience to be able to come to see. So, you know, I think like when these type of artists, these national artists, think of Arizona as their artistic home, it's a real win for all of us.
I'm looking at the schedule. Prue Payne, directed by Stephen Druckmann, and you're directing that one, Sean?
Correct. Yeah, it's a really gorgeous, smart piece about, you know, how we fall in love with people and the choices that we make and how, you know, as life goes on, how we adjust and how we remember people. That's going to be a world premiere, and we're in the midst of casting, and we're hoping to be able to have a pretty high profile actress to announce. That's another show that I have high hopes will have a long life in New York and other theaters after it starts in Arizona. And I think the thing people don't realize is when a theater does a world premiere, the audience, like their fingerprints are all over it. You know, you do a world premiere and the audience doesn't laugh for the first three previews of a joke, that joke is gone, you know, or, you know, what you don't realize is so many of the great plays that, you know, you're also watching the taste of what that those first cities were, you know, like when they laugh, when they read their program, when they shuffle in their seat. And so I think, you know, it's time for Tucson to be at the top of that. Also to be saying like, here's our taste and here's what gets passed on to the rest of the country.
As the kid at the table at Thanksgiving, Sean Daniels, were you kind of the showman of the table at Thanksgiving?
You know, I was probably like crushingly annoying, you know, to all of that. But, you know, now that's my daughter. So what comes around goes around, right? To be able to, it only makes my mother feel happy that I now have to put up with a, you know, a loud, precocious child.
What's left on this year's calendar for the Arizona Theater Company before you close it out for this year?
So we have The Legend of Georgia McBride, which is a really fun show. It's about an Elvis impersonator that has to learn to be a drag queen. And it's a scream. I went and saw the production in Milwaukee where it started. And it's one of those shows that you'd scream and you laugh from beginning to end. And then the last show of the season, which is one I got to pick, is called Women in Jeopardy, which is a fun story about a group of women of a certain age who decide to drink wine and solve crimes. And that is also a good time. So we try to end the show with two shows that I think will send the audience out feeling good and having a great time. And it's something they can bring the whole family to.
How about local talent? Are you drawing from the University of Arizona and the Arizona Theater or for Arizona State University from the theater programs at all?
We are. And actually, you know, one of our great stories this past year, we had a University of Arizona junior, uh-huh. Xander Mason, who was in Cabaret when we did it. And the actor that was originally playing the MC got ill, you know, with food poisoning and couldn't go on. And so I had to call Xander 2 hours before the performance was supposed to go up on a matinee and say, you know, I know you're a 21-year-old kid who's a junior in college, but can you go on as the MC in an hour 45?
Whoa!
And there was a pause, and then his voice came back very high, and he was like, "Oh yeah, of course." He went out and killed it. You know, we even went out beforehand and we did an announcement to the audience to say, "Listen, you know, he's going on. You know, he may be reading from a script. If anybody in this audience wants a refund afterwards or wants to come back, we will refund anybody. But the show is going to go on." And he walked out and did the whole thing off book.
Whoa.
And not a single person asked for their money back at the end of the show. He got an amazing standing ovation. So I think that's the quality of kids that are coming out of the U of A. And that's why, you know, that's why we partner with them and they play a huge part of what we do.
What an exciting story for that.
It was terrifying at the time, you know,
yeah.
to be able to do it. But he, you know, there's no greater American story, right? Than
there
like
you
the quarterback
go.
That comes off the bench to win the game or the 21-year-old kid that comes out of the chorus to lead the show.
Star is born. Sean Daniels, thank you, sir. Where can people find out more? Go to the website?
They can go to arizonatheater.org, and that's where everything is, or they can find us on Facebook or Instagram, Arizona Theater.
Hey, Sean, always a pleasure having you on our program. Thank you, sir.
Oh, my God, thank you.
Thanks. Sean Daniels, the artistic director for the Arizona Theater Company. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. So we'll wrap up Wednesday, but we've got Mr. Dave Ramsey. He's coming up next with his very popular show, talking about money, always very entertaining and informative. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, who's done another great job on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Back with you tomorrow, 12:04 on the Buckmaster Show.